All right, great. We're going to start here at the top of Tzadik Gimel and Aleph by the Mishnah. So the Mishnah should be familiar because we've quoted pieces of it both in yesterday's daf as well as throughout the Masechta. So it's not the first time we're seeing this Mishnah. It says, Kotzeitz Adam Eidei Atzmo V'Eidei Bino Ubito Agdolim Eidei Avdo Shivchato Agdolim Eidei Ishto V'Pnei Sheyesh Andat. So again, we discussed this yesterday, but a person has the ability to engage in work, or contract with others to engage his wife, his children who are over the age of bar mitzvah, as well as his avadim, mishvachot, over the age of bar mitzvah, to work and to agree not to eat. I mean, that they can make an agreement with the balabayit, whoever they contract with, that they will work, but they won't take any food, or they won't eat like they are entitled to. Aval, enu kotzeitz ayidei bino uvito aktanim. He may not do that if it's talking about his children who are minors. And not for his Eved Knani or Shivcha Knanit who are Aktanim. And not for his animal. Because again, they don't have dat. And they don't have dat in the sense that they don't have the ability to withhold themselves or to restrain themselves from eating. So he can't contract with the Balabayit in order to prevent them from eating when they are engaged in malacha with the balabayit. We discussed this yesterday, and the Gemara came to the conclusion, the difference between our Mishnah here and the Braisa is whether you hold Mishalo hu ochel or Mishal Shamayim hu ochel. And that from our Mishnah, it sounds like it's Mishal Shamayim hu ochel, that it's a grant from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he cannot impose his will with regard to the Ketanim or the Behema. On the other hand, when it comes to the Gdolim, he's able to impose his will because of the fact that they are Machlet. They are able to be Mochel on their rights because they are Gdolim. Asocheret HaPolim Lasot B'Neta Revai. So again, this is another Mishnah we quoted yesterday as one of the proofs. The person who hires in Polim workers to work in Neta Revai. Shalo, hari alo, lo yochlu. Then they're not entitled to eat because obviously it's net the revai, which is restricted. Imlo aduyan, if he did not let them know beforehand that that's what they're going to work with, then podeo machilan, then he must redeem it and allow them to eat from it. Nit persu igulav, if his igulim, his pressed figs, break apart, or nit patchu chaviotav, or his barrels of wine reopened, hari alo lo yochlu. Again, they may not, the workers who come to work here may not, are not permitted to work, eat, because it's after the Gemar Malacha from Maaser. Since already Chayv and Masrot, they're not entitled anymore to eat. Im lo hadian, if he did not inform them as to this fact, Maaser o Machilan, then he has to remove Maasrot and allow them to eat. Shomrei Perot, so this is really the new part of the Mishnah, and that's what the Gemar is going to discuss here, is Shomrei Perot Ochlim, Mihilchot Midinav lo Minatorah. Those who watch or guard Perot are entitled to eat, not mina Torah, not because that is, they're under this framework that we've been discussing about till now, which is kitavo b'kamat re'acha or kitavo b'kerem re'acha, but rather because of the hilchot medina, which Rashi says, kvar na gukin, that's the minhaga medina. It's not because the Torah obligates them, but that is the minhaga medina, and that's become the common practice amongst individuals. So now the Gemara says, these shomrei perot, what are we talking about in these shomrei perot? So Amrav, Lo shanu elo shomrei ginot upardesin. Now here we're talking about our Mishnah is only addressing those that are watching gardens, meaning like vegetable gardens and orchards, because there the fruits or the vegetables are still mechubar, they're still attached. And what's the din by mechubar? The din by mechubar is that you're only entitled to eat if it's this gemar malacha, it's the zman of the gemar malacha. And over here it's clearly not gemar malacha because you're sitting there and watching the fruits or the vegetables that are growing. So that's the instance where the Torah does not obligate you, or you are not entitled from the Torah to eat. And despite that, there's a minhag medina that they're still allowed to eat. Aval, shomrei gitot v'armimot, if they are watching the gat, right, the presses, the wine presses are remote, and the piles of grains, they're already talush. Now they're already separated, already cut down. Then ochlim mina Torah. Then they're entitled to eat mina Torah. Why is that? Because kasavar mishamer kosei maaseh dami. This is similar to something that we discussed on the in the Shabbos daf, which is the fact that someone who's mahalech, who's walking between the rows, right, has a din possibly of a maaseh, of an action, that he's actually still working with the fruits. So over here, this is even more than that. Rav is indicating that if you're shomer the peirot, that's the equivalent of a maaseh, of an action or melacha with the peirot. And since you're doing a maaseh with the peirot and they're talush, you're entitled to eat from them. Whereas if you're doing a maaseh with the peirot and they're mechubar, they're still attached, then you're not allowed to eat from them unless it's gemar melacha. So over here, since by ginot and pardesim, it's not the gemar melacha, you won't be entitled to eat min haTorah, only mitzad the minhag medina. On the other hand, when it comes to arimot and gitot, which are talush, there, as long as you're doing a melacha before the chiyuv maaser, you're going to be entitled to eat. And that's exactly what he's doing over here. He says that the shomer is kosem maaser dami. And Shmuel disagrees with Rav's position or explanation here. Shmuel amar, lo shanu elo shomrei gitot ve'arimot. Shmuel says that our mission is actually only addressing gitot ve'arimot, that which is in the talush. Aval shomrei ginot upardesim, when it comes to vegetable gardens and orchards, eno luchlim lo min haTorah ve'lo min hilchot medina. Shmuel says they don't eat at all. When it comes to mechubar, those are ginot upardesim, fruits, vegetables that are still attached to the ground. So clearly min haTorah you're not entitled. And in addition, Shmuel is saying not even minhag medina are you entitled to eat here. Why? Because the minhag medina relates to that which is talush, that which is the gitot and arimot, the piles and the gat, the presses, before they become to a chiv maser, there you're not only entitled to eat min hag medina, not min haTorah, which is said before by talush, right? If it is, you're engaging with the talush before the chiv maser, you should be able to eat min haTorah. No, but that's because Shmuel believes, kasavar mishamer lav kosim maser dami. Shmuel believes that when you're sitting there and watching the fruits, that doesn't qualify as a maser or a melacha. So true, you're engaged with talush, and had you been doing a melacha, you would be entitled to eat it. Problem is that you're not doing a melacha. Since you're not doing a melacha, that does not entitle you to eat min haTorah. Ela min minhag medina. Just that's what the Mishnah is addressing that in our case. So meitiv Rav Acha bar Rav Huna. Rav Huna challenges this position of Shmuel. Hamishamer et hapara. Someone who is watching the para haduma. Now, Rashi explains that we're talking about here a para haduma from Shchitata ad Kinus Afra, right, the Efra, that it's from the time that it was Shechten until the time they bring in the Efer, right, they've made it into ashes. So Mitameh Begadim, he becomes Tameh Begadim. Now, Iyamat Meshamer Lav Kosim Asid, I mean, if you believe watching, if it's not the equivalent of an action, then Amai Mitameh Begadim. How come is Begadim or Tameh? I mean, the Mishnah tells us that when it comes to anybody who's engaged in the para aduma, anybody who does a maaseh with the para aduma, then automatically his begadim become tameh. But here, he didn't do any maaseh with the para aduma, he simply watched it. So if you say like Rav, that Mishamer is kosei maaseh dami, that explains why the Mishnah, or the Braisa quoted over here, says that he's mitameh begadim. But if you hold like Shmuel, which is not kosei maaseh, why should he be mitameh begadim? So Amar Rabbi Ravula, gzeira shem yaziz ba'ever. No, it's really, truthfully, you're right. Min haTorah, it's really not mitamei begadim. The fact that he's mitamei begadim here is simply a gzerat chachamim, it's gzerat derabanan, because we're afraid that maybe this individual engage in the para aduma, he's watching it, and if he moves anything of the para aduma, if he engages somehow with the para aduma, he would be tamei. So the chachamim say that the atu, or like gzeru atu, that he might touch it or might move it, we say automatically that it's begadim or tamei once he is watching the behema. So Meiti Rav Kahana, Hamishamer Arba V'Chamesh Mikshaot. So a person who is guarding 4 or 5 Mikshaot. Now, Mikshaot are basically, I'll call them cucumber or zucchini patches. So there's 4 or 5 cucumber zucchini patches, each of which belongs to different individuals. Each one belongs to a different individual. If he is watching all of these patches, which entitles him, according to this, to eat, and if he goes out and eats, he shouldn't take out all of the produce that he wants to eat or consume. He shouldn't take it out of one patch. He should do it on a prorated basis. He should take a section of each one. Now, as opposed to where it's owned by one individual, right? Before, where we said the Poel has the ability to choose and to pick from the best, and he can eat from whatever he wants. Over here, the problem is that each of the patches is owned by a different individual. So if we all of a sudden allow him to eat from one patch, then he basically is eating in one patch at the expense of this one individual, even though he's engaged with four other individuals, and it's not being spread equally. So this person says to spread it equally. But what do we see from here? That when he is Mishamer, he's classified as an Osem Maaseh, And since he's classified as a Muslim Maaseh, right, then he's allowed to eat. So Maaseh says, V'yamart, Mishaler lav kosem Maaseh dami. If you say that a Mishamer is not like taking the action, amai uchel, why is he entitled to eat here at all? Right, there shouldn't be any entitlement whatsoever if there is no Maaseh. So this sounds like, again, like Rav, or this is a challenge to the position of Shmuel. So Amar of Simi Barashi Bakurim Shanu. This is a case where the vegetables are already detached, where the cucumbers or the zucchini is already detached. Where it says, wait a minute, if they're akurim, then I'll know Nigmara Melachtan. Once you pick them, once they've been harvested, then they already have a Gemar Melacha for Maaser. And what did we say before? When it comes to Talush, once it becomes to something that is already separated or picked, then you're only entitled to eat until the point where it reaches the Chiyuv Maaser. Over here, it seems they've already reached the Chiyuv Maaser once they're picked. As we learned before in the Gemara, that when is the Chiyuv Maaser start for cucumbers and for zucchinis? When you take off the flower, right? When they dry out, or you start to pick off the flower from the cucumbers and the zucchinis. So over here, they're already picked. So they're akurim. They're already taken out of the ground, and they're lying there on the patches. So you're guarding them, but they haven't reached the part of onat masrot. They haven't reached the point when you're chayiv to take off masrot, and that's why you are entitled to eat over here. You're entitled to eat because it's talush before the chiyuv maaser, and you'll be entitled to eat mitad minhag hamedina. Right. So therefore, according to or hilchos medina, like our mishnah, according to Shmuel. So according to Rav, you could have read this simply, the Brisa says simply being Mechubar, and Mishamer is Kosei Maaseh Dami, and therefore he would be entitled to eat, again, Minhag Medina, because it's engaging a Melacha that is before the Gemar Melacha, but something Mechubar. So now, Amar Rav Ashi, Kavate de Shmuel Mistavro, that the position of Shmuel here, as opposed to Rav, makes sense. Why? It did not. We had a Mishnah that really began the sugya back on Pezayin about the entitlement of workers to eat, and it says, "Ve'elu ochlim min haTorah." These are the individuals who are entitled to eat min haTorah. Oseh b'mechubar dekarka b'shat gemar melacha. It's an individual who works in the mechubar dekarka at the time that there is a gemar melacha. U'betalush, again, talush lifnei they until the point he reaches the chiyuv masrot. Michlau, from our Mishnah, it's indicative that it says Elo ochle min haTorah, deika deloka achel min haTorah, el mehilchot medina. From there, it sounds like there must be individuals who don't eat min haTorah but are entitled to eat from not the Torah, which means mehilchot medina, from the minhag medina. Ema seifa. What about the second half of that part of the Mishnah? It says ve'elu she'enan ochlin. These are those that do not eat min haTorah. Ma'enan ochlin. What does it mean that they do not eat min haTorah? If you say it means that they don't eat min haTorah, but they are entitled minhag medina to eat, hainu reisha. We already made that inference out of the reisha. Why do I need to make that inference out of the sefer? Ella, lav, it must be she'en ochlim non haTorah v'lo minhagot medina. There's a second half of the mission is indicative or indicating that there are certain individuals who do not eat at all. Umaynihu, who are those individuals who don't eat at all? Now, according to Rav, there's nobody who doesn't eat at all. Because by a talush and a melacha, which is mishamer, is classified as a melacha, and before the chiyuv maaser, you're chayev min haTorah, or I mean, you're entitled min haTorah to eat. The only time, according to Rav, where you're not entitled min haTorah to eat, and you're still entitled to minag medina, is mechubar, when it's attached to the ground, you're doing melacha, that's not gemar melacha. But there's no other option left. According to Shmuel, it's actually in a case or in a situation where the poel will not eat at all. Not min haTorah and not min hilchot medina. What's that? That's by mechubar, when it's still attached to the ground, and he's doing melacha, that's not gemar melacha. In that instance, according to Shmuel, he's not entitled to eat whatsoever. And the minag medina refers to talush, when it's separated and before the time of the masrot. Even though this mishamer is not classified as a melacha, nevertheless he's entitled as a shomer. So now, if we're going to go back to that mishnah and explain that the mishnah has two sections, one section that indicates that these are people who do not eat min haTorah, but eat minag medina, and then there's a second section which indicates not only do they not eat min haTorah, but they don't even eat minag medina, which indicates that there is such a case where poel does not eat at all. That's only true according to Shmuel. Umaynihu, what's that case? Oseh b'mechubar dekarka b'shashayin gemar melacha. Someone who works by mechubar dekarka when it's not the zman of gemar melacha. And certainly our case, which is Shomrei Ginot Uparnasot, according to Shmuel, which is here, not only is it Mechubar the Karka, but according to Shmuel, he's not even doing a Maseh. So there, certainly he's not going to be. So that's Rav Ashi says that that Mishnah seems to be indicative, or the Diok out of that Mishnah from the Reish and the Seifa is indicative, like Shmuel, that there is such a case where a Poel is not entitled to eat whatsoever. No? So now we're changing topics a little bit, coming back to almost the core of Bava Metzi over here. Where it says, Arba Shomrim Hein. There are four types of Shomrim. Shomer Chinam, Vishoel, Venoseh Sachar, Vesocher. Right, someone who's watching or is guarding for free. A Shoel, someone who borrows. Venoseh Sachar, someone who is hired, right, to watch. And a Socher is a renter. Shomer Chinam Nishbalako. A Shomer Chinam, because he's watching for free, is entitled to take a Shvu'ah for anything that happens to the item, whether it's Geneva, Veda, Ones. He takes the Shvu'ah and he's puter himself. Ve'ha-shoel, and the shoel is the opposite, which is he's mishalem et hakol. The shoel pays in all instances, whether it's an ones, geneva, veda, the shoel pays in all of these instances. Ve'noseh sachar, ve'soh socher. Noseh sachar and socher are equivalent here, their dinim are equivalent, which is nishba'im ala shvu'ah v'la shvu'ah v'la meita. They take a shvu'ah when it regards to ones, which is right, shvuya and meta, umushalmim, but they have to pay when it comes to gneva and aveda, by aveda and gneva, which are cases in between. So then the sechar and the socher are in the in-between cases over here. So Magar says, mantana arba'a shumrim. Who's the author of our Mishnah? So Amrav Nachman Amrabba Ravua, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is the author of this Mishnah, who says there are four shumrim. So Amalei Ravu, the Rav Nachman, is there anybody who doesn't think there are four shomrim? I mean, why are you indicating here that the Rabbi Meir is the author of our Mishnah because he says there are four shomrim? So, who is there any other opinion? Is anyone who disagrees with that position that there are four shomrim? So, Amalei, he says, no, this is what I meant to say, or this is what it means. Amalei, achi kaminalach, mantana socher kenoseh sachar. Our Mishnah makes an underlying assumption that a socher, a renter, has the same din as a noseh sachar, someone who's paid to watch. So who's the author of that position? That is Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir, which we've seen before, both here in Bava Kamma, there's a machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir believes that a socher is kenoseh sachar, that a renter is the equivalent of someone who's paid to watch, whereas Rabbi Yehuda believes that a socher is ke shomer chinam. It's like a person who watches for free. So our Mishnah equates socher and shomer sachar is clearly like Rabbi Meir. Gemara says, Rabbi Meir iprosh meinenli. Then we hear the opposite in the opinion of Rabbi Meir. The Rabbi Meir believes that he's kashomer chinam. Ketanya, socher ketzad mishalem. Socher, how does he pay or what's his din? Rabbi Meir omer kashomer chinam. Rabbi Yehuda omer kashomer sachar. So over here, Rabbi Meir says it's a shomer chinam. Rabbi Yehuda says shomer sachar, the opposite of what you're suggesting. So he says, no, Rabbi Baravua iprosh ketani. Where it says, no, that Rabbi Baravua, and we saw this again, the Gemara quoted this earlier, that Rabbi Baravua flips the opinions of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So if you flip the opinions of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, then it would work, because then if you have Rabbi Baravua, Tana Masnisa and Socher Ketza Mishalem, Rabbi Meir Omer Shomer Sachar, and Rabbi Yehuda says Shomer Chinam. And according to that explanation of the Brice or that of Rabbi Baravua, then you can explain our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Meir. Gemara says, Ihochi arba'a shloshanin hu. Our Mishnah, the kuteret, right, the title for our Mishnah is that there are four shomrim. But in the end, the truth is there really are only three shomrim. Because if the shomer sachar and the socher are the equivalent, then there are only three shomrim here. So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, dalet shomrim v'dinehem shlosha. No, there's still four categories of shomrim. It just turns out that there are only three different categories of dinim. Since two of these shomrim have the same din, therefore they're shlosha dinim, even though there really are still four shomrim. So Gemara says a case. Ha'uraya, davakuraya, there was a shepherd that was shepherding chiyuta animals, aguda de Nar Papa, on the banks of Nar Papa. Sarichada minayu, one of them slipped, one of the animals slipped, v'naflat l'mayu, fell into the water, and obviously I'm assuming died. Ata de kamei de Rabba upatre. It came to Rabba, and Rabba says, this ro'eh, this shepherd is patur. Amar, mai havalei lemevat, what could he have done? I mean, what could he have done better? He did what normal people do. If he does what normal people do, then he's not considered to be at fault here. Ha natar kidinatri inche. He watched it the way that normal people watched it. And it's not even classified, meaning that the shepherd is in this category of a shomer sachar. A shomer sachar should be in the category of gneva and of avedais chayav. So over here, you would have thought that the animal slipping could either be a pshia, or even if it's not pshia, it's an aveda, meaning that it's not exactly an ones. Maybe it's not pshia, but it's not an ones, so you should be chayav to pay. And what Rabbah is suggesting over here is that he doesn't even have to pay. It's not even an aveda. It's a complete ones because natar kenatri inche. He acted like a normal person would. He took what would be considered to be normal risks and normal behavior in this instance, and therefore he's not going to be chayav. So Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, wait, can you really say, Rabbi, can you really say such a thing? Elamiata, alamato dem idano de ail inche. So if a person enters in, goes into the city, when most of the shepherds, most of the people go into the city, hachanami de potur, also over there he'll be potur. Amar Abaye, yes, you're right. Gana purta bidana de ganu inche. If he rests and goes to sleep when most people go to sleep, achanami de patur, also he's going to be patur because he's acting like a normal individual. I'm laying, yes. In all these cases, Rabbi is consistent in his opinion that if the individual was a shomer sachar, even though he's hired to watch the animals, nevertheless, even if he deviates a little bit and he rests and he goes to sleep, nevertheless, he's still classified as being watching and carrying out his duties because he's acting like a normal person. He's acting like what people would assume a normal shomer would do. So, Etevei. So, by a challenge, the Gemara challenges him. Eluheim onsin. Sheshomer sachar patur lehem. This is the type of ones which a shomer sachar is patur on. That is, vaytipol shvavi techem vetana arim hiku lifi charev. So this case, or the case of ones, is a case where it's complete ones. V'tiposhva, these marauders attacked them, v'tikachem, and took them away, v'tanarim, he kulifi charev, and they killed the nearim, the young lads there by the sword. So if that's the case, when are you classified as an ones? I mean, look at the type of ones it has to be. I mean, in order to be classified as ones, basically it has to be that these armed robbers show up and they carry off the animals. That's classified as an ones, right? Ones going to sleep when people normally go to sleep, that's not classified as an ones. So I'm like, hey, wait, you're mixing and matching. Over there, they're talking about bechazne mato. There, we're talking about the guards of the city. I mean, that they're hired to do something totally different. When it comes to hiring the guards of the city, the expectations of the guards, the overnight guards of the city, is that the people of the city are relying on these individuals to guard the city and to put out life and limb and their money on the line in order to protect them. I mean, that their expectation is, I mean, again, it's like right in the army, if you're the shomer overnight, just because the rest of the platoon, the rest of the, right, Machlaka is sleeping, that doesn't mean you can sleep, because they are relying on you to guard and to watch the rest of the troops. So in that case, you don't have that entitlement, right? As opposed to normal cases where you're engaging someone to watch an item or to watch shepherd the sheep, then the expectation is you would take a little nap when others take a nap. It says, Etevei, Ad Matai Shomer Sachar Chayav Lishmor. What is the standard by which we hold a Shomer Sachar to? It says, Ad Kedei, who's the classic example of that, is Yaakov Avinu. Va'iti b'yom achlani chorev v'kerach b'layla. I mean, that he was up at night in the cold, in the frigid cold, and he was eaten by the ice and the dew. I mean, that Yaakov Avinu went beyond what we would have ever expected of someone have to do act in these situations. And he says, that's the normal qualification for a Shomer Sachar. In order to be classified as a Shomer Sachar, you have to act like Yaakov Avinu, which is work day and night. And if you're not working day and night, then you're not classified as an ones. So I'm going to say, mato. No, it's talking about guarding the city. Wait a minute. Since when? Yaakov Avinu chazen mato avo? Yaakov Avinu wasn't a guard of the city. Yaakov Avinu was hired by Lavan to watch his sheep. Right? He was shepherding his sheep. How could you say that this standard is the standard of the guards of the city when Yaakov Avinu was simply a shomer sechar when it comes to the sheep of Lavan? No, d'amar le Lavan, natri lecha nitiruta yeterta kechazne mato. Now that's what Yaakov Avinu was saying to Lavan. I didn't even give you the normal engagement of a shomer sechar. I didn't do what was normally assumption of what a shomer sechar did. I went beyond that. I did the guarding. I did a shomer. I was shomer your animals like a chazne mato, like a guard of the city. I went above and beyond the call of duty, and I did that for you. How could you have any claims against me that I didn't watch properly? I didn't treat you properly. So Gemara challenges again. Eitve, ro'eh shayo ro'eh. You have a shepherd that was shepherding. Ve'niach idro u'balir. He leaves his sheep out in the field and comes into the city. Baze'e v'taraf ba'ari v'daras. So if a ze'ev comes and attacks, or a lion comes and is dores, ein umdim ilu hayasham hayamatzil, we don't say that if he was, we don't say really umrim, not umdim, but we don't say ilu hayasham hayamatzil, if he was there he would save them, el umdim oto im yachol atzil chayav im lav patur. I mean that, what is the real probability, if he was there, that he was capable of stopping such an attack? So my love, what's the case here? The al bidon of the aileinche. There was a time he came in when normal people came in. I mean, the expectation here, according to what Rabba would suggest over here, is that if he comes in at the time that normal people would come in, then he should be patur legamre, because he's acting in what would be classified as the normal behavior of a shomer sechar. He should be classified as an onis legamre. Nevertheless, right, what we see from here is that we don't do that. We say he came in with the people, and nevertheless we go back and look and say, if he was there, what would he have done? Would he have been able to save the animals or not? If he was able to save the animals, he'd be chayav. If he was not able to save the animals, he would be patur. But that means that the qualification or the tour for shomer sechar is not simply that he acts like every other individual here. So lo, Gemara says no. Or Rabba has to suggest over here, lo, the al bidana d'lo aylinche. Now, the case in this price is a case where he went in when it wasn't the time that other people went in. If he went in with other people that didn't go in, what is that called? That's called a posheya, right? He's a posheya. He went in when he wasn't entitled to leave the sheep. He left the sheep out in the field, and he's a posheya. Yochi amai patur. According to that, why is he patur? Why? What happened in the end? In the end, the animals showed up, ate his flock, and that he couldn't have stopped. It would have been beyond his control. So that's an ones. But what did he do in the beginning? He did a pshia by entering into the city when he shouldn't have. That's called tchilato pshia v'sofo ba'ones. So my patur, tchilato pshia v'sofo ba'ones, and he's chayav. So why should it be patur in this instance? Amar says, no. It's a case here that the shoma kalarye. He heard the roar of the lion. He got scared. He heard the roar of the lion, he got scared, so that's why he comes into the city of Yaal, and then he went in. Where it says, Yachi omdimoto, ma'avale de mevad. Then the Gemara says, why isn't he then a complete ones? He heard the roar of the lion, he got scared, he comes in. Why is he an ones? Why do we have to assess later on whether he could have saved the sheep or not saved the sheep? He went in because he was scared. The Gemara says, no. Hayulo the kadem broim of maklot. No, there's an obligation on him to go back out, to hire roim, to go basically get other shepherds and people with sticks, meaning to gather together people to go and defend the flock. Where it says, why does it have to be limited to a shomer sechar? Even a shomer chinam should have to go into the city and bring others out to protect the flock. Demarhu d'amar, aren't you of the opinion who said shomer chinam she'elo lekadem b'ro'im maklot v'lo kidem chayav? If shomer chinam is under the obligation to go out and protect the flock, and if he doesn't go out and protect the flock, he's chayav. So Gemara says, no, there's a difference between a shomer chinam and a shomer sechar. Shomer chinam b'chinam. A shomer chinam has to go out, has to go and gather others together to help him protect the flock b'chinam. He can ask others to help him. If they're willing to go out, then fine. If they're not willing to go out, he won't be chayav. Shomer sechar b'schar. A shomer sechar has to not only ask others to do it, but he must hire others to go out and do it. Where it says, Vad Kamo, how much money does he have to expend in order to hire others to bring him out? He says, Ad Kedei Demehem, up to the value of the animals. Where it says, V'heichem Matzinu B'Shemer Sachar Shechayev B'Onsin. Since when do we say that a Shomer Chasachar is so chayav that there's a case of ones, which is a lion is showing up, going to eat the flock, and so that's a complete ones. And nevertheless, we'd say that he has to expend money to hire others to join him out in the field to protect the flock. Since when do we ever find such an obligation by a Shomer Chasachar? So it says, Right. But since when is he obligated to hire others? I mean, where in his contract does it say that he must now go and spend money to hire others? So he says, that's not a problem. The other shakel demand be balabait. He gets reimbursed for hiring these workers. He does get reimbursed from the balabait. So he says, okay. I'm a labor balabai, yochi, my honey lay, mina. Right? What did he do? Meaning that if he's going to spend, he's basically spending the balabait's money and going out and hiring others. Now he's going to expend the amount of money up to the value of the flock of the balabait to protect the flock. So in the end, he basically spends what it would cost the balabait to replace the flock. So don't hire the people and let the balabait go replace the flock, because that's what the balabait's expending in the end. Well, either way, the balabait has to pay his schar. It's just the question now if he has to go buy a new flock or he spend money to hire others to protect his flock. So that's the question. There, the money is equivalent monetary expense. The only question is, why should he go spend the balabait's money? So the Gemara's answer is, it is enough. He says that a balabait would prefer, most people would prefer, for equal monies to end up with the same flock that they had before. One is that they are knowledgeable, or they know the animals in this flock. So therefore, if he gets back his own flock, he already knows what he has, and he can work with them. Or the other possibility is that he doesn't have to go out and buy and get all these animals again. To go and buy something new takes a whole new effort. So despite the fact that he will expend money that is equivalent to replacing the flock, nevertheless, the balabait would prefer that he doesn't have to replace the flock, and he protects it because he gets back when he knows, or he doesn't then have to go out and buy a new flock. All right. What I would deal with here a little bit is something that we've seen in Tosfot a number of times through the Masechta here, and that is the inyan of Tchileta B'Shia B'Sofa Ba'Onis. We've seen this numerous times. The last time we saw it was back on Ayin Chet, Amud Aleph, in the Baba Metzia. Which is, and we saw it in Baba Kamal as well, which is the opinion of Tosfos is that when it comes to Tchilato B'Pshia, B'Sofo B'Ones, the Ones has to be related to the Pshia. There has to be a causal relationship that the Pshia is what is Goreim the Ones. The Pshia is what caused the Ones to happen later on. Even though it's an Ones in the end, but if it were not for the Pshia, the Ones would never have happened. That's the position of Tosfot. We've seen it over and over and over again. Tosfos always says that and clarifies that. There are those that argue, and the Mukha Yosef, we saw also the Mukha Yosef, supports that position of Tosfot. We have seen, the one who argues on it, the Ramban, who is the promoter of the opinion that argues, and says that Tchilato B'Shia B'Sofo Ones, there has to be no causal relationship between the P'Shia and the Ones that happens. That even if the Ones is totally unrelated to the P'Shia, one is still Chayab by Tchilato B'Shia B'Sofo Ones. That is because he becomes exactly like a Ganav or a Gazlan or a Mazik that we've seen in other instances, that as soon as the person engages with the item, a Ganav and Gazlan takes it, he becomes Chayab for anything that happens to the item. You now become responsible for anything that's going to happen to the item. Your liability is now assigned to you. We're just waiting to find out how much that liability will be and to whom that liability will have to be paid. But from the moment that either you're Tchileto B'Shia or you're Gozel or you're Ganav or you're Mazik, at that moment you become liable for anything that happens to the animal independent of the relationship of what happens to the animal to the original act that makes you liable. The Ramban's major proof, or the basic support for the position of the Ramban, is Ar Gemara. Why? What's the case in our Gemara? Abaye challenges Rabbah that this case is a case of Tchilato B'Pshia M'Sofo Ones. Why? What did the individual do? He went in at the time that he wasn't supposed to go in. He leaves the flock out in the field. Now, what happens? An Ari shows up. A lion shows up and eats the flock. And the Gemara basically suggests over here that even though they couldn't have prevented the flock from being eaten, because if the lion had come, he wouldn't be able to stop it. That's why it's called Tkliato B'Shiyah B'Sof Ones. Now, there is, in this case, no causal relationship between the B'Shiyah and the Ones. He went into the city, and the Ari ate the flock. Now, had he been there, the Ari would have eaten the flock anyways. So there's his going to the city had no relationship or no effect on the fact that the Ari ate the flock. And nevertheless, Abaye qualifies or classifies this as Tkhleto B'Shiyah B'Sof Ones, which is exactly like the position of the Ramban. So Tosfot, one of the main places that Tosfot does is back on Ayin Chedem and Aleph. Tosfot on Ayin Chedem and Aleph, it's the Tosfot of Chuchma Ben Bahar Patur, where he states this opinion of causal relationship. He says, what am I going to do with this Gemara on Tzadi Gimel Amud Bet? He quotes our Gemara, he says, Vim Tomar B'Shili Po'alim. Shilei Po'alim is the end of Perek Po'alim, which you can see here. We're about to end the Amud away from ending the Perek. It says, you have the case here, where it says, Tchileto B'Shiyah B'Sof, if there's no causal relationship. So Tosus has to go out on a limb here and suggest, he says, V'yesh Lomar, the Shemim Hayasham, Hayom Alicham, Lemir E'acher Kodim Biatari. Tosus speculates that if the Ro'eh, had the shepherd stayed there, he might have moved the flock to another location before the lion showed up. That's a normal way of shepherds. They move around. They spend half a day here, half a day there. So his going to the city does cause the problem because he doesn't move then. He doesn't move locations anymore. That's one suggestion of Tosfot. Or maybe if he was there and knew that the Ari was approaching, he'd be scared to stay there and he would have moved the flock. Or maybe the shepherd would have been Superman. He basically would have exhibited a strength or action that was beyond the call of his duty or beyond what you would have thought, then he would have killed the Ari or protected the sheep from the Ari. So see here, Tosfos has to deal with our Gemara, which clearly leans heavily towards the Shita of the Ramban, which there needs to be no causal relationship, and the Tosfos is searching for a causal relationship over here. So Tosfos has to make up or create all these types of ukimtot here to suggest that there's a causal relationship between the Ro'et, the shepherd leaving, and the Ari showing up and eating the flock. And that he does by one of three ways. The Tosfos says either normally a Ro'et would leave, maybe he would have left the location if he was around. Number two is, maybe he wouldn't have gone there had he known there was an Ari there. He heard the Ari, would have moved. Or the last is that maybe he would have been able to stand up to the Ari. Even though we don't think he does, he should. But maybe he could have. Even though we wouldn't have assessed him to do it, maybe he would have made it able to do it. So that's the way Tosfos explains it. But it's an important Chakira and Tchilato B'Shiyah and Sof Ones that we've mentioned numerous times. We've seen this in Tosfot, in a number of places. We saw it on Ayin Chet, which I just quoted you. We saw it on Membet. We saw it on also on Lamed Vav, and also in Baba Kama. We also saw it in Baba Kama that Tosfos quotes this position that there has to be a causal relationship between the two. All right. Now, continuing in the Gemara, Rav Chista v'Rabba bar Rav Huna lo sfir leihad de Rabba. They don't hold of this position of Rabbah, that we state if an individual acts like normal people act, then he's already classified or put in the category of Ones in Patur. The reason I'm paying you is to do beyond what normal people do. I'm paying you as a Shomer Sachar, not to act like a normal person, but to do a better job than that, to actually watch in a better manner than would have been expected by normal people. So, Ba'ada Suvula, Avekimaver Chiyuta Agamlo de Narsh, that he was crossing the animals over the bridge of Narsh, Dafcha Chada de Chaverta Veshadita Bimaya. One of the animals bumped the other animal, and it fell off the bridge into the water and died. So, Ada de Kamei de Rapapa, he went before Rapapa to find out if he was obligated to pay for this or compensate for this animal. Chaive, he says, you are obligated to pay for this animal. Samalei, Mahavali de Mevad. What could I have done? You should have ensured that the animals crossed one at a time. He says that I know of your barchatech. Rashi translates here, meaning barchatech means ben amech v'umatcha, meaning that someone who is a part of your nation, meaning another Talmud Chacham or someone else, which is basically quoting the position of Rabbah. Position of Rabbah is, if I acted in a normal manner, the way people normally cross animals over a bridge, then I should be patur. Over here, I did what normal people do when they cross the bridge. One animal acted out and knocked another animal down. That's not to be expected. You're asking me to be mavir, right? So no, tachad edro, to take them one by one, you know, through the bridge. That's beyond what normal people would do. And why am I obligated to act beyond what normal people do? I should only have to be obligated, like Rabbi says, to do what normal people do, is to cross the animals over the bridge. I should be patur over here. Why are you making chayav? Those that are before me and you have already called out or tried to establish the halacha like Rabbi. Nobody listened to them. Nobody listened to passing the halacha like Rabbah. Basically, the halacha is not like Rabbah, and that's what we just saw before, that the position of Rav Chisda and Rabbi Rav Huna is not like Rabbah. That the obligation on a Shomer Sachar, and the obligation of someone's getting paid to watch, is above and beyond what normal people would do. And even though normal people would cross the bridge with animals in such a manner, that does not make you patur. You would still obligate you to cross it even beyond that. You have to do it single file, one by one, in order to prevent any sort of damage happening over here. And again, Tosus points out, this is what I just mentioned right before, that they should have walked them one by one. The fact that you didn't do a single file does not make you into a pusheya. You become like a ganav and a veda. That's what I'm paying you for. I'm paying you for that you're chayav when it comes to Gneva and Aveda. And this case of the animals not going single file makes it like Gneva and Aveda and not like an ones. And it's not that it makes you all the way to a pusheya. We don't say that you're a pusheya because you didn't go beyond the call of what normal people do. But we do say that's what I'm paying you for. If I'm paying you for that, you're going to be obligated to compensate when there is such a loss over here. Aibu afkid kitna beironia. Ibud gave over his flax to Beironia. Azo shavu shamte mine. Shavu, this thief, or this armed robber, showed up and took it from him. Tupsov hukar ganav. In the end, they identified who the thief was. Atel kamei de Rav Nachman. They came before Rav Nachman and chayve. He obligated the shomer to compensate in this instance. Lema Pliga to Rav Huna Bar Avin. Sounds like he might argue on the position of Rav Huna Bar Avin, which is what? The Shalach Rav Huna Bar Avin, Nignava Bonis, Vacharka Hukar Ganav. If the item was stolen by Ones, Ones here is clearly Ones because it was armed robbers. So even a Shomer Sachar is Patur in this instance because he's a complete Ones when it's armed robbers. So over here, armed robbers come and later on they identify who the thief is. So according to what the Psak Halacha of Rav Nachman is, that after this fact, they find out who the Ganav is, now we obligate the Shomer to take care of this and to go after the Ganav and get it back. But Rav Shuna Bavin says, Nigdava Bones, Vacharka Chuka Ganav, this exact case, Im Shomer Chinam Hu Ratzai Nishba Ratzai Use Im Odin. If he's a Shomer Chinam, he has a choice. Either takes a shvua like normal, which is poter him, and he says, you know, your problem. Or he could say, listen, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go after the ganav, because I know who the ganav is. I'm going to go get it back from the ganav, and I'll pay you. Im shomer sachar hu, osei mo din, veno nishba. If he's a shomer sachar, he must go and go after this individual. Veno nishba. And he doesn't have to he's not entitled to take a shvua over here, but he has to go out and do a din with him. And that's the argument over here, because our case of the Beironia, where Shomer Chinam. And now Shomer Chinam, Rav Nachman is saying that he is obligated to go after the Ganav, the Shomer, even though he was a complete Donis. Whereas Rav Huna Bar Avin says that obligation only devolves upon a Shomer Sachar, not on a Shomer Chinam. So Amarava Hotam Gavre de Permuska Havu Kaimei. That over there, in our instance, by the Shomer Chinam, there were government officials around. Had he raised his voice, had he called out, they would have come and saved him. So the problem here is not that there was a simple ones up front, that he was taken by an armed robber and therefore afterwards, Rav Nachman's coming paskin, even though it was an armed robber, now hukar ganav, he has to go pay. No. The problem was that the facts of the case are that he wasn't really an ones over here. He wasn't ones because had he simply raised his voice, the officials of the government would have come in and rescued him. And the fact that he didn't raise his voice makes it questionable whether he really is an ones in this instance, because he could have done something to prevent the geneva from happening. Okay, new Mishnah. Zevechad, if there is one wolf attacking the flock, there's one wolf, eino ones. In that instance, he's not classified as an ones, meaning that if the ru'ed does not protect the flock, then he's not classified as an ones in that instance. Whereas, if it is shnei zevim, once there are already two wolves attacking the flock, then he's an ones. Then already he's classified as an ones. Yudomer b'shat mishlachat zevim, at a time when there's a, it seems to be persistent attacks of wolves, meaning that it seems to be a common problem or a persistent problem. Av zev echad ones. Even one zev is a problem because they're just, it's so frequent and so overwhelming that even with one zev, it'll be an ones. Shnei klavim ein ones. When it comes to two dogs, right, that's not an ones. Yedua bavli omer, mishum rabbi meir, miruach echad ein ones. If they come from one direction, then it's not an ones. Mishnei ruchot, but if they come from two ruchot, if they come from two sides, ones, then he is an ones. Meaning that the obligation or the qualification that he's not an ones is assuming that he could have protected the animals because they came from one side. But if they come from different sides, that even if he protected them on the one side, the other attacker come from the other side, he cannot stop. Halistim, harei ze ones. Armed robbers are obviously classified as a, right, as ones. Ones. Hari, Vadov, Venamer, Vabardalis, Venachash, Arielunis. So all these animals over here, which are right, considered to be large or dangerous animals, these are all classified as ones, which is right, the lion, the bear, the leopard, and the, I guess the Bardalis would be a weasel, of some sort of weasel, but as we saw, I guess something that's a little more dangerous than the weasel. Venachash and a snake, Arielunis, they're ones. Ematai. That's when the he was stationary with the flock, and these animals attacked the flock. But if the other hand, if he moves the flock into a position where he's now coming into contact with these animals, or into contact with these thieves or these armed robbers, then it's not an ones because he shouldn't have gone there. Basically, the answer is you now brought the danger upon yourself by taking yourself into such a location. Meta kedarka, if the animal dies a natural death, or is it ones? Then he's an ones, because what could he have done? Sigfa umeta, on the other hand, if the animal was ina berav, as Rashi says, it was afflicted, meaning that it was starved, or it was out in the heat without any relief, or in the cold without any relief, then and it dies, ain't ones. Obviously, he's not an ones there, because his pshia is what caused the death over here. Out of the Rosh Tzukim, if he took it up, again, this is part of a Mishnah we quoted earlier in the Gemara here, takes it up to the heights or the peaks of the mountain, and a fly and it falls, there is the ones. There he is classified as ones. Right? I mean, if it went up by itself, this is Alta, it ran up, and he's chasing after it to stop it, then he is an ones. Hey, Allah the Rosh Tzukim, if he takes it up to the peak of the mountain, then a fly umeta ain't ones. And it falls and dies, and he's not ones because he directed the animal to be up there. If he directs the animal up there, we don't expect the animal at those locations to have such a good grip, or to, it's normal for animals to slip and to get hurt or die in those locations. The fact that he took it up there is already his problem, or it's not classified as an ones. And the Gemara says, Vatanya, Zev echad ones, that even one wolf is classified as an ones, and our Mishnah says one wolf is not classified as an ones. That brisa is in a case of mishlachat, right, a plague of wolves, or where there is frequent attacks of wolves with one wolf, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the brisa is that unique case, or the what we had in our Mishnah, which is Rabbi Yehuda, has a situation where you even can classify as an ones by one ze'ev. Now the Gemara continues. Alistim are ze ones. When it comes to robbers, right, then he's, or marauders, he's classified as an ones. Am I? Looky gavra lachari gavra. Hey, let's go. It's a showdown. It's one against one. Why should it be an ones over here? Let him stand up to the listim. Amarav says no. As I explained the Mishnah, but listim mizuyain. Talking about armed robbers over here. So if it's armed robbers, we don't ask him to stand up to the armed robbers. It says, what happens if we have armed robbers and an armed shepherd? Mahu, what's the din? Me and Umrinan uke gavradi gavra have a showdown. You guys are both armed, you know, one against one, no problem. Odilma, hai masar nafshe, vai lo masar nafshe. It's an uneven fight. Why isn't it an uneven fight? Because marauders or thieves or these highway bandits that are armed, they go out assuming that they're going to die every time. They are risking their lives to go and steal each time. So since that's their normal course of behavior, they fight like their life's on the line. As the ro'eh, or the shepherd over here, is not fighting like his life's on the line. He's just protecting some property. He's protecting someone else's property. So he's not going to fight or put up a fight that's equivalent to the fight of the robbers. So Gemara says, Mistavra, da'ai masar nafshei, v'ai lo masar nafshei. The Gemara says, Mistavra, that is the way it is. That we don't ask the shepherd to stand up or show down against them because it's an uneven fight. Even though they're both armed, it's an uneven fight because the bandits, marauders, highway robbers are much more effective and moser nefesh to do what they do, and therefore the fight will be uneven. So Amalei by the Rava, Ashkechei Ro'eh, if the Ro'eh found them, Vamalei, Ganva Saria Beduchta Plana Yatvinin. So what happens? He says, basically, Kach Vakach Gavre Ikibadan, Kach Vakach Kalba Ikibadan, Kach Vakach Zukta Psikalan. He comes into a bunch, or bumps into these thieves or robbers, and he says to you, rotten robbers, you horrible people, right? Where we are? Let me tell you. We're hanging out up the hill, over that mountain over there in the valley. That's where we're hanging out. And if you want to show up there, you know what we have waiting there for you? We have this and this many men. We have this and this many dogs, right? And we have the, we're armed with slingshots. And we're ready for you. So guess what happens? The robbers take up his challenge, and they show up there. They show up there, and they end up stealing from him and taking the animals from him. My, what do we say? What's the din over here? So the truth is, he's an ones because it's an armed robber. But on the other hand, he goaded the armed robber to come there. So Amalei, he says, that's our Mishnah. If he takes them over to a place that is where they're already found, right, or expect to find wild animals, or you expect to find armed robbers, then you're not an ones anymore. So this is the equivalent, I mean, in a different way. In one way, the Mishnah discusses a case where he brings the animals to where the robbers or the marauders are. In the case here, it's he brought the marauders to where the animals are. Either way, that's not classified as an ones. There he brought on the problem onto himself. It's not as a complete ones, and he would be chayav in those instances. All right, we'll stop over here.